So it is, as you know, on the occasion of the centenary of the death of Blessed Elizabeth that we have this recollection. So what I'm going to do, we are going to speak of the life of Blessed Elizabeth this morning. And this afternoon we will speak of the center, so to speak, of her doctrine, the presence of God in us. There will be, of course, many other things to say. But it is clear that this indwelling of the Trinity in us is the center. It was, as she said, a heaven on earth. Is what she, the light which made her life so so beautiful. So firstly, the life of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity. So as I said, you have in this book which contains the pictures of her life. If after you want to have a look, it is interesting to see these pictures. Particularly if you look at the the very first pictures when she is 2 or 3 years old, you see a little girl who has dark eyes flashing. She was not an easy child. God did not give her a meek temperament. She was easily angry. In fact, on the pictures, you see that she's angry. She's terrible. In a little girl of 2 or 3 years old, it is very amazing. And she conquered herself. So we see the work of the Holy Ghost. I mean, she was very faithful to the work of God in her, and she changed. It was also because, of course, of her parents. When they got married, they were 47 and 33 years old. So the father was 47, and she was a soldier, a very, very strong man, very faithful, a great devotion, a great faith. And her, the mother was not shy. But she was not. She did not have the same temperament as her husband. But she gave to her 2 daughters a very good education. She was very attentive, and the greatest. It is said that the greatest punishment that could exist was to deny them the kiss in the evening. If the children could not be kissed by their mother, it was the greatest punishment possible. So it was a difficult birth. She was born in 1880. So the end of the 19th century. It was in France a very difficult time. As we will see when Blessed Elizabeth is at in Carmel, there's going to be the separation of church and state. So there was a time. It was a time of a little battle, I would say, between battle between the church, between the Pope, and the state. But at that time, so when she was born, it was still a Catholic country. The Catholic Church was still the official religion, and the crucifix was everywhere, and so on. So it was still a Catholic country. So as we said, it was a difficult birth. So difficult that the father saw that she was going to die during the birth. So he had a priest say mass during the birth. So when she, so the mother, his wife was in labor, he asked a priest to say mass, and she was born during the mass, just at the end of mass. And she was baptized the following Sunday. So she was born in July 18. It was on Sunday, sorry. And she was baptized on the 22nd, the feast of Saint Mary Magdalene. She was very proud of it, to have been baptized on the feast of Saint Mary Magdalene, the model of contemplative souls who stayed at the foot of our Lord. So as I said, she had a very difficult temper. She would be very easily angry. The first story that we know about her, or the first words that we know, it was during a mission which was preached in the parish of her grandmother. So her own mother went to see her mother, so the grandmother of Blessed Elizabeth, because this grandmother was very sick. So she went there, and there was a mission preached there. And the sisters who were in the parish asked Mrs. Cates, so it was the name of the family, so it was Elizabeth Cates. So they asked Mrs. Cates if she could give one of the dolls of Elizabeth to make the child Jesus in the crib, because there was going to be a blessing of the children during the mission. So when the day came, all the children were in the church. The parish priest climbed the pulpit. And at first, Elizabeth was 19 months old. So she looked at the priest, she looked at all the people around, and she of course looked in the crib, and she saw the child Jesus, but she realized it was not the child Jesus, it was her doll. So she started to scream in the church and said, "You naughty priest, give me my Janet." So the Janet was the name of the doll. "Give me my doll." Naughty priest. So the first words of Blessed Elizabeth, it was a very anti-clerical cry. "Naughty priest, give me my Janet." And of course, the mother had to hurry out with the baby in her hand. Well, it is. But it is, once more, if you look at the pictures, it's very clear. She had a very difficult temper. She was easily angry and very late. I mean, she will have to conquer herself up to her first communion when she... she was 11 years old when she received Our Lord for the first time. Up to this age, she was very easily angry. It was very difficult for the mother. We have letters of her, so the first letters of Blessed Elizabeth. So she wrote to her mother, particularly on the occasion of the New Year, and she would tell her mother, "So I'm going to try to, if I tell you that I'm going to try to be good and to be meek and not to be angry and so on, you're not going to believe me." So I'm going to tell you that, and indeed it was very difficult. So she had a little sister, Marguerite, who was born in 83, so 3 years after, and who was very different. So she was very peaceful, and yet they got along very well. This little Marguerite was looking at her sister, older sister, sometimes amazed to see how easily she was angry. She said she was a real little devil. So speaking of Elizabeth, she could stamp and rage and kick at the door and so on. So this is Elizabeth, the blessed. So they love each other. So and they are going to keep this affection one for the other. In particular, when Elizabeth is in Carmel. When she's 7 years old, Elizabeth is going to lose her father, who will die when he's 54 years old, a heart attack. And Elizabeth was with him when he died. She will write a little poem years after, and she will say, "It was in my weak child's arms that your brief agony lasted." So she saw the death of her father. And of course, it was a trial, obviously. And at the same time, we know that everything is providential. It helped her to. She had to accept this trial. She learned the science of the cross, how to unite our sufferings to the sufferings of our Lord. And because, of course, of this death, the three, that is, the mother and the two girls, moved to a smaller house in Dijon, just behind the Carmel. So very soon she is going to have this desire for the Carmelite life. All of that, unfortunately, is destroyed. They have changed the whole city. So the old Carmel doesn't exist anymore, and this house where she lived doesn't exist anymore. The same year, so when she's 7 years old, she will make her first confession. So if you remember, at that time, children could not make their first communion before 11 or 12 years old, but they could, of course, go to confession. So she made her first confession. She was 7 years old, and it was, as she said, and not only she, but afterwards, but her mother said the same thing. It was her conversion. She started to change when she went to a confession. We see the work of the sacraments in a soul. Someone who is well disposed, little by little, she was changed by the sacraments. It was very clear. She started to go to confession, and she changed. And very soon afterwards, and probably the year after, so in 88, so she's 8 years old, for the first time she spoke of her vocation. She whispered to a canon who was a friend of the family. She climbed on the knees of this old priest, and told him, "Canon, I'm going to be a nun. I want to be a nun." So she was 8 years old. And the mother was quite upset. She did not want at all to see her daughter become a nun. So it's a mystery in this life. It is a mother who was very devout. She loved Carmel. When she was a young lady, she read many books of Saint Teresa of Avila. So she had a great devotion to Saint Teresa, and yet she did not want at all to see her daughter become a nun. So she was a bit angry, and yet the canon said afterwards that he believed in this vocation. As many priests, the priest who prepared her to her first communion said the same thing. He said that he knew that she would be either a devil or an angel. She had such a strong temperament that she would be either an angel or a devil. So therefore, when she spoke about this vocation, well, he believed in this vocation. After this holiday, so she's going to, so once more, she's 8 years old. She will play the piano in public, so she knew how to play the piano. And she's going to do that in public, and people are going to be amazed. She was a very good pianist. And because of that, so the mother had her enrolled in the Conservatory of Dijon, and had also a piano teacher, private lessons. So she's going to spend her whole youth playing the piano. It was so much that her formation, I mean the formation, the other subjects, like grammar or spelling and so on, did not receive the same attention. So her writings, so the complete works of Blessed Elizabeth that I have here, so everything is corrected. There is no mistake. But when you see the original text, it's a bit it's odd. She was not very good in grammar, at least in spelling. So she was very very strong. She played the piano a lot. And yet at the same time, she had this love for prayer. Very very young, she was able to be motionless in prayer. Everybody said the same thing. Even when she was young, so 10 years old, she could pray. So she was, again, very very lively, exuberant. But when it was the time of prayer, she would be still and think of God. So this young child, certainly there was the grace of God was working in her. She made her first communion, so 11 years old, so in the 19th of April 1891. She prepared this ceremony for at least a year and a half. So she knew that she was going to make her first communion, and it was a big event. So she prepared this first communion with great care. And on this day, she was absolutely transformed. even during the preparation of the first communion, she was still very very lively. So much so that the priest who prepared her had to punish her during the catechism class. Well, she was still very very strong, and yet she had a devotion and real desire to please our Lord, to make a good first communion. And she said afterwards, "We gave ourselves totally to one another." And just after the ceremony, so she will say to a little friend of her, another girl, "I'm no longer hungry. Our Lord has fed me." So instead of thinking, of course, of the meal and whatever she will receive on the occasion of this first communion, well, she was already lost in God. Her mother will say, "I will never forget the emotions of that day. I saw my child so absorbed, so overwhelmed, tears never stopping falling, that I understood that God had taken possession of a heart that was so pure and loving." So even the mother saw the what was happening in the soul of her daughter. And on the very same day, they go to Carmel. So it was the first time, on the day of this first communion, there was a friend of the family who knew the Carmel. So as a treat, after the ceremony, they went to Carmel, and there they met the prioress, Mother Mary of Jesus, who explained to her the meaning of her name. In fact, it seemed that it's not the true meaning, but nevertheless, she told her, "Elizabeth means house of God," and she gave her a little image, and she wrote this thought, "House of God. Now you are the house of God," and she will keep this image all her life. And of course, when we know her life, we know what is. What will happen afterwards, it was certainly a providential. It was her vocation which was revealed in this little image, House of God. And then she started to change completely. It is said in the book Reminiscences, which was a book put together by the prioress of Dijon after the death of Blessed Elizabeth. It is said in this book that it was no longer possible to discover even a first movement of impatience in her. So she completely changed after her first communion. So it started to change that all of a sudden. I mean, she started to change after her first confession, so 4 years before. And she conquered herself so much that after, and by the grace of the sacraments, she was able to to stop any movement of impatience, even if she could still feel inside, I will say, the battle. He said that sometimes we could see tears. And it was so strong, she had to stop herself. It was so difficult that we could see her weep. But still, she would not show any impatience or lack of respect or whatever. And if you look again at the pictures, you see that she is transformed. It's not the same child anymore. You can see in the eyes, she doesn't look in the same way. You don't have these angry, flashing, dark eyes, but you see someone who is much more peaceful. She became even tempered, gentle, and always in control of herself. So to the result of grace, in particular the result of her first communion. And she begins to be, well, to acquire this attitude of soul, which is going to be hers, absolutely selfless. She started to have this desire to please our Lord. For example, once she said to her sister, "Oh, I'd love to be an actress." Mm-hmm. Because then there would be at least one person there who would love God. So we'd like to be an actress, not so much to be an actress, but at least one of them would love God. So at least there will be someone who could love God there. She keeps playing the piano. She even got a first a prize of excellence, and very soon a first prize at the piano. She explained how she did it afterwards. She said, when I would play the piano in front of a large crowd of people, I would forget everybody and think of our Lord and play for Him. So it is why she said, it is why she could play the piano so well. And yet at the same time, she started to think of the Carmel. So as we said, she was just behind the Carmel. She could see the sisters on the second floor. She could see the sisters in recreation. It was not like here you cannot see anything. But there, of course, in the house on the side, you could see the Carmel, the Carmelites during recreation. And she starts, thinking of Carmel more and more. She speaks of this vocation, but it came gently. We said already when she was 8 years old, so I want to become a nun. It becomes stronger and stronger, to the work of God working in her soul. when she was 14 years old, she did something which is admirable and not to be imitated. So it happens in the life of the saints. She made a vow of virginity, without thinking about it beforehand. It was not planned. It doesn't seem that she spoke to any priest before. And yet she made this vow. We said nothing to each other, but we gave ourselves, each to the other, loving so intensely that I became still more resolved to belong to him completely. And a bit later, again, so it was during the Thanksgiving that she did that, and a bit later, again during Thanksgiving, she heard the word Carmel uttered so deep within her, and she, very soon afterwards, she started to speak about this vocation to Carmel. So the mother becomes a bit afraid to see this increasing devotion and desire for the Carmelite life. She does not want her to think about it, and yet she can't help. So she tries to, at the same time, to please her mother, to be very obedient, and to lead a Carmelite life in the world. She won't be able to enter Carmel before 21 years old. So she's 14 years old, she already had this desire. And of course we think of Saint Teresa de Child Jesus, who entered Carmel, she was 15 years old. And it was at the same, a few years after. Saint Therese died in 1897. And here we are in 18, so 14 years old, 94. So Saint Therese, the Child Jesus, is still alive. So it's not the same, God did not lead them in the same way. It is in the same way, in the sense that both of them very soon, very young, had this devotion, this vocation, and yet it was not realized in the same way at all. Saint Therese could speak to her father, who understood. It's amazing to see how easily he accepted this vocation, and how he helped her to enter Carmel. It's really amazing. I don't think that. How many men today will do that? I mean, you know, to take the little daughter, and she's 14 years old, and to see the bishop and to ask the bishop for the permission to enter Carmel at 15 years old. But it is what he did. So in the case of Blessed Elizabeth, it's not the same thing. She will have to spend at least 6 years or 7 years in the world. which is of course for us who are not in the Carmel an example, because all the letters that she wrote before entering Carmel, they are already full of this Carmelite spirit. She's already in her heart a Carmelite. So she therefore leads a life of prayer, of course. So she gets up early. So her mother doesn't know that. She gets up early. She goes to Mass at 7 o'clock in the morning. Try to be obedient as much as possible. She does not practice any visible penance. She started to have the desire maybe to skip breakfast as a penance, but the mother found out and forbade her to do that. So therefore she never did not do anything extraordinary. For example, the mother did not want her to change her confessor. So there was a priest who, well, she thought that her confessor was a bit too gentle. She wanted to have someone a bit stronger, more demanding. But the mother did not want, so therefore she did not change. She was always very obedient to her mother in everything. Nevertheless, she had this desire to enter Carmel. One priest tried to speak to the mother and to have her accept this vocation, but it had the opposite effect. That is to say, the mother became so upset that she forbade her daughter even to go to Carmel. She was not even allowed to go to the chapel, the Carmel. Another event, and maybe I'm going to stop with this mission. When she's 19 years old, there was a mission which was preached in the parish with three conferences every day. The first one at 6 a.m. So she would go to the conference at 6 o'clock in the morning. 9 a.m. and a great sermon at 8 p.m. During this mission, so it was preached by a Redemptorist priest. 19 of them came to the not to the parish but to the whole city. So there were two or three priests by each parish. So they preached this 40-day mission. So she tried to attend most of the conferences. We have her the notes that she took during these conferences. And during this mission, she was able to go to confession, to make a general confession. And there she's assured that she never lost her baptismal innocence. And during this mission, finally, the mother accepted her vocation, and she said that she will be allowed to enter Carmel when she is 21. So she's 19 during the mission. She has still 2 years to spend in the world. And at the same time, the ban on the visits to Carmel is lifted, so she can once more go to Carmel. And she asked for the grace of being admitted to Carmel, and of course she is accepted. So 2 years after, and yet the mother is still. So she accepted because, in fact, there's little to be done. It was so strong that, the very same during the same mission. So the mother came once and said that she had a beautiful offer, a superb offer of marriage. So it was turned down very quickly. She said, "No, my heart is already given. So I want to enter Carmel." So she's going to be, therefore, for 2 years, a postulant, as the mother prioress called not only her, but them, because there's many postulants who wanted to enter Carmel. So they were called the postulants outside the wall, because there are so many of them, and they will come and listen to conferences and prepare themselves to enter Carmel. Because the Carmel was too small. As you know, Carmel, they have never more than 20 or 21 sisters. Saint Teresa did not want the Carmel to be bigger than a big family. So the Carmel of Dijon was full, and the mother prioress was preparing a foundation in a Paray-le-Monial, where the Sacred Heart appeared 2 centuries before. So all these postulants could not enter because it was full, and they would go to Carmel and prepare themselves for this for their vocation. And finally, so they will finally found a Carmel just in 1901, the very year, so when Blessed Elizabeth is 21 years old. Just before what we call in France the law of association, which forbids any foundation of convent, monastery, without the permission of the state. So it was during the persecution. So the day before this law, the prioress of Paray-le-Monial could found the Carmel of Paray-le-Monial. So she was able to do this just the day before. So it was obviously by a divine providence. So at the same time, she's not only praying, she also does some apostolate. She helps in the parish. She prepares some children to their first communion. And she's very gifted. She's a good storyteller. She's at the same time very deep. And the children loved her. She had even to hide, to conceal her dress, because otherwise all the children would be home every day. So it was. She was so. The attraction was so powerful. At the same time, she. So when she's 19 years old, so 1899, so it was 2 years after the death of Saint Therese, the Child Jesus, and is already the second edition of The Story of a Soul. The first edition was 1 year after. And she was able to read this second edition. And as we see in her writing, she's going to be very much under the influence of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. She really assimilated her doctrine. And she offered herself to the merciful love of God according to the prayer of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. We have at least 4 copies of this text written by Blessed Elizabeth, and her own prayer, "Oh my God, Trinity, whom I adore," has many similar expressions and thoughts. So she was very much under the influence of Saint Therese. And at the same time, there is this beginning of this devotion to the presence of God in us. So when she's 19 years old, 20 years old, she more and more, I would say, sensed this presence of God in us. So it was a particular grace for her, I mean for her sanctification, but also I would say for us. She's going to insist on this doctrine, which is so important for our own sanctification. And yet it seemed that she had never read anything about this Catholic doctrine. Mother Mary of Jesus, so the prioress of the Carmel, had her meet a Dominican priest, Father Valle, a great Dominican priest, he was the prior of the convent in Dijon. And to this priest, of course, she explained what was happening in her. So she explained how she sensed that there was someone. there is someone dwelling in me. So she explained what was happening. And of course, Father Vallée explained this doctrine. And while he's speaking, she's carried away, and she's so happy to realize that her experience was not an illusion, it was not a dream, but it was a reality and a Catholic doctrine. So therefore she listens to him, and she said afterwards, so after he started to explain and she realized that once more it was not a dream, after she was, she had only one desire. She wanted him to stop and to let her alone with him, and to be able to think of God dwelling in her. Well, and she keeps this desire to enter Carmel, in spite of a absolutely, I would say, normal life. She's very, there's nothing austere, nothing apparently. People at the same time could see that she was special. She had a very deep look. She was, as we said, motionless in prayer. So she was certainly a soul already given to God. And yet at the same time, to please her mother, she would lead a very normal life, like any young lady at that time. So she would keep playing the piano, go to parties, and be always joyful, and always the center of attraction, so people loved her a lot. So much so that some people said, told her, but you are too, it's going to be too difficult. You are not going to make it. The Carmel is going to be too difficult for you. And she answered, oh well, then I will die. It is too difficult for me. I will die. Up to the end, so there was a battle, I would say, between her and her mother. She had a little a personal journal, so she wrote her thoughts and so on. But she destroyed all these books, all these notes. And we think that it was because, well, it was the struggle. She did not want her mother to be sad, reading these notes. She certainly in this journal, she certainly spoke a lot about this constant difficulty with her mother, because the mother said yes, but very often she would say no. I don't want. Why do you want to leave me? And she would answer, well, it is for our Lord. I can't refuse his calling, and he's always with his pure intention. So it was not just for our Lord. Our Lord is abandoned. There are so few people who love him. So now I have to listen to his calling. So she had very much many consolations during this time, and yet just before entering Carmel, she will have a period of dryness, a spiritual trial, which was not a simple time of desolation, as it happens to all of us, but it was a purification already. She was already very very close to God before entering Carmel. As we said, she was able to lead a Carmelite life even before entering. For example, she wrote, "It's very hard, isn't it, after he has seemed so close, but I'm willing to stay like this for as long as the beloved wishes. For faith tells me he's there all the same. And what are sweetness and consolations after all? They are not him." So in this time of desolation, so she said it's so difficult after so many consolations. She uses the same expression as Saint Therese. It's not anymore a veil, but it is a wall. It seems so far away from me. It's a wall. And yet, as long as the beloved wishes, for faith tells me he's there all the time, all the same. It's not because of this consolation, this experience that we spoke of, but it is faith who told her that God was dwelling in her. And this is a beautiful expression. What are sweetness and consolations after all? They are not him. Yes, the consolations of God are not God. And it is he alone we are looking for. So we are going to speak of her entering Carmel afterwards. But I think it's important to have that in mind, that she was able to be a Carmelite even in the world. Of course, to be able to enter Carmel and to lead a full role of the Carmel was a blessing, obviously. Nevertheless, she did not wait for being a Carmelite. She did not wait this time for leading this Carmelite life and to fulfill this vocation. She was able to grow in the love of God and to be alone with God alone in spite of this life in the world. And as we said, she never tried to withdraw and to be a special. No, she was like the other. She tried to please her mother, to be like everybody else, and yet to lead this interior life very deep, and to go through these purifications with a very pure intention to please our Lord. To be a Carmelite not in order to feel particular consolations, which may be the temptation of some. When you read St. John of the Cross and so on, you say, oh, it would be nice if I could have this type of experiences. It was not at all her mindset. She wanted to be a Carmelite for the glory of our Lord, for him, to console him, to be able with him and by him to redeem souls, to be able to do something for the Church. And once more, when she entered the Carmel, she was already very holy. And she will go to all these celebrations, all these parties and so on, with this same attitude. She was able any time to have this little cell, I will say, within, and be able to be with him all the same. You know, my good master, that my consolation when I go to these reunions, these celebrations, my consolation is to recollect myself and rejoice in your presence. For I feel you so much within me, my supreme God. At these reunions, where no one is thinking of you, it seems to me that you are happy that there is one heart, even one so poor and feeble as mine, that does not forget you. It's very interesting, this attitude, this pure intention. You know, it's not to feel God in you and to have that for you and to be to have a particular consolation. But it is the thought that you are able to console our Lord. It seems to me that you are happy that there is one heart, even one so poor and feeble as mine, that does not forget you. To be able to do something for our Lord and to console him, even if you feel poor and feeble. But still you believe in his presence and you give yourself to him.